It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. The impeachment drama comes to an end.
Donald John Trump is hereby acquitted of the charges in said articles.
That is our top story at noon. President Trump was acquitted yesterday by the U.S. Senate, thus bringing an end to the political sideshow that's gripped Washington for months.
They have done everything possible to destroy us, and by so doing, very badly hurt our nation.
Speaking at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. earlier today, Mr. Trump talked about the impeachment trial and his acquittal. The president says his family has been put through a terrible ordeal
by some very dishonest and corrupt people.
With House Speaker Nancy Pelosi sitting just feet away, President Trump took issue with her recent remarks about praying for him.
I don't like people who use their faith as justification for doing what they know is wrong.
Utah's Mitt Romney says his faith compelled him to vote to convict the president. He was the lone Republican to do so.
The president is guilty of an appalling abuse of public trust. There's no question in my mind that were their names not Biden, the president would never have done what he did.
He made his decision. As I said, I think it's a mistake.
That's Texas Senator Ted Cruz. He says Mitt Romney will have to answer to the people of Utah for his vote to convict. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says Democrats have dug their political graves.
As far as I'm concerned, it's in the rearview mirror. What I'm here to talk about today is the political impact. It has been a colossal political mistake.
At a Women for Trump event outside of Harrisburg last night, Vice President Mike Pence talked about the impeachment trial and yesterday's acquittal.
You know, it's amazing to think about it. After months of a sham investigation, a partisan impeachment, it's over, America.
President Trump about to speak to the nation right now from the East Room of the White House following his acquittal last night. In the U.S. House today, Florida Republican Matt Gaetz filed ethics charges against House Speaker Nancy Pelosi after she tore her copy of the president's State of the Union speech in half Tuesday night.
She disgraced the House of Representatives, she embarrassed our country, and she destroyed official records. The law does not allow the Speaker of the House to destroy the records of the House, and the rules of the House do not permit some little temper tantrum just because you don't like what the President of the United States says.
Gaetz says there's a double standard in the Democrat-controlled House of Representatives.
When Joe Wilson made a comment, an excited utterance, oh, the Democrats really brought the heat down on him when he said that Obama lied about illegals getting health care under Obamacare. By the way, Joe Wilson was right. But we ought to apply the same standards to the Democrats that they want to apply to us. And there will be an ethics investigation of Nancy Pelosi. And we will start the ball rolling to have her censured.
New York's Lee Zeldin and Texas Congresswoman Kay Granger joining Representative Gaetz and filing ethics charges today against House Speaker Pelosi for her actions following the State of the Union address Tuesday night. Now to campaign 2020. Pete Buttigieg holding on to a razor-thin lead over Bernie Sanders in the Iowa caucuses. Elizabeth Warren in third, followed by Joe Biden.
I am not going to sugarcoat it. We took a gut punch in Iowa.
Political analyst Ed O'Keefe says the former VP is hoping to rebound in New Hampshire.
Former Vice President Biden, that he's going to target Buttigieg and Sanders specifically over the issues of electability and health care in hopes of a rebound here in the Granite State. As one advisor told me, after all, New Hampshire loves a comeback.
The New Hampshire primary set to go next Tuesday. China says it's cutting tariffs on $75 billion worth of U.S. soybeans, pork, and car parts as part of a trade truce with Washington. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger says the move could be the result of the coronavirus.
In this announcement, the Chinese government did not mention the coronavirus, but many people believe that the reason they're cutting these tariffs is that the Chinese economy is likely to slow down pretty dramatically because of the coronavirus.
The 12th case of the coronavirus has now been confirmed in the U.S. The death toll worldwide stands at 563. Hollywood has lost one of its biggest stars. Kirk Douglas, the last link to film's golden age, passed away yesterday at the age of 103. Correspondent John Blackstone takes a look back.
I'm Spartacus!
I'm Spartacus!
But there was only one Spartacus, and only one Kirk Douglas. After serving in the Navy in World War II, he got his first movie role in The Strange Love of Martha Ivers.
What's mine is yours.
Kirk Douglas quickly became a star as an unscrupulous boxer in Champion, a greedy movie mogul in The Bad and the Beautiful.
All right, Harry, one day you work for me.
A gunfighter.
Anybody else want to try their luck?
A French Army colonel.
Get these men out of here!
More than 80 movies in all.
All right, let's give it another try!
John Blackstone, Hollywood.
Thank you, John. Still to come this Thursday, winter mess in New York and PA. Joyce Mitchell about to go free. And Homeland Security taking aim at the green light law.
A very good afternoon to all. We've got more rain, ice, and snow ahead over the next 36 hours. I hope you'll stay tuned. I've got the complete forecast coming up. We'll see you in about 10 minutes.
All righty, Kevin Williams checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Thursday, February 6th. Snow, sleet, freezing rain, all in the offering the next couple of days, folks. Winter weather advisories and watches up through Friday.
Tonight, we're going to get another round. It's going to be more snow than freezing rain.
Kirk Apfel at the National Weather Service in Buffalo says Friday night things start to taper down, but the cold, that's going to stay around.
This is a lot colder than we've been for most of this winter, so this is really a winter-like pattern that's setting in. For the snow starting late tonight and through Friday, we're looking at additional accumulations from that, a potential of 6 inches or greater. So it's definitely a wintry pattern through Friday.
Apfel says the Niagara frontier in western New York could be looking at 9 inches of snow by tomorrow night. Expect 2 to 5 in the central Twin Tiers, more of an icy mix in much of Pennsylvania. The Homeland Security Department says it's blocking New Yorkers from taking part in its Trusted Traveler program because of the state's controversial green light law. Trusted Traveler allows customers to move faster through customs and airport security.
This is huge. This is going to impact thousands and thousands of people in New York State, particularly many in Western New York because of our proximity to the border.
New York immigration attorney Rosanna Berardi says the move will impact travelers using the pre-screening program to get through airport security much quicker.
TSA PreCheck, which basically is a pre-screening tool that allows people, once they obtain TSA PreCheck, to walk through the quicker lines and not remove their shoes or their belts or their coats. If you have TSA PreCheck, you're good to go. But if you're hoping to get it, again, I don't think you're going to be able to.
The federal officials say they're blocking New Yorkers from enrolling in the Trusted Traveler program because the green light law prevents them from accessing motor vehicle records. That was done to protect illegal immigrants in New York from possible deportation. She's about to be set free. The former prison teller who helped two killers escape from a northern New York jail will be released as soon as today. Joyce Mitchell, serving time at the Bedford Hills Correctional Facility for helping Richard Matt and David Sweat break out of the state prison in Dannemora in 2015. Mitchell provided the tools they used to chisel through walls and pipes in a Shawshank Redemption-style escape. After a 3-week manhunt, Matt was shot dead. Sweat was captured and put behind bars for the rest of his life. Family members of the two victims in a house fire near Watkins Glen, New York, earlier this week, now speaking publicly for the first time since that tragedy. 2-year-old Dwayne and 20-year-old Caitlin Kernan died in the fire Tuesday morning. Cheyenne Williams was the mother of the 2-year-old boy.
He was a cheerful little boy. He loved everyone. His favorite thing was chasing his cat that was here.
Come running right to me and say, Papa. And he'd always, always be right with me.
Tough stuff there. Charles Griswold says his grandson epitomized joy The investigation into the fire continues. 20 New York State residents being tested for the coronavirus. Health Commissioner Howard Zucker says a dozen tests have already come back negative. 3 samples are from New York City. 5 from the rest of the state are still pending. There are still no confirmed cases of coronavirus in New York or Pennsylvania. Dr. Zucker says the risk to the general public remains low. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf responding to President Trump's criticism of him during Tuesday night's State of the Union address. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
The Commander-in-Chief, critical of the Commonwealth's chief executive on Tuesday over his handling of a school choice program.
Last year, that future was put further out of reach when Pennsylvania's governor vetoed legislation to expand school choice to 50,000 children.
That remark came after Mr. Trump pointed to a Philadelphia fourth grader and her mom sitting in the balcony of the House chamber, adding that they're one of the families that uses the scholarship for tuition assistance. Wolf fired back.
Come on.
I think financially irresponsible was basically a raid on the taxpayer for private schools, and I didn't think that was fair. So, yeah, I did veto that.
The Democrats shot down a $100 million expansion of the state's Education Improvement Tax Credit program in favor of a more modest $25 million increase. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Vice President Mike Pence made a swing through the key swing state of Pennsylvania last night. The VP spoke at a Women for Trump event near Harrisburg.
Last year, women filled more than 70% of all the new jobs created, and the unemployment rate for women in America has hit a 66-year low.
The women who showed up last night had nothing but love for the commander-in-chief.
Loves this country. He's a patriot. I've been a supporter of President Trump from the day he came down on the escalator.
All you have to do is listen to the State of the Union, and you know that the country's going in the right direction.
Pence was joined last night by Education Secretary Betsy DeVos for that rally in Camp Hill. Following the chaos that was the Iowa caucuses, there's a warning today against approving new voting machines in New York.
We should not follow the example of Iowa and waste millions of taxpayer dollars investing in insecure and faulty election technology.
Sue Lerner with Common Cause says New York's Board of Elections should not approve new touchscreen machines to replace paper ballots and scanners. She says those machines are susceptible to cyber attacks and hardware malfunctions. Cracking down on human trafficking, Family Life's Terry Diener says Pennsylvania has just done that.
Governor Tom Wolf has signed the bill, which will take effect in 2 months. It makes it a first-degree felony to recruit, harbor, transport, or obtain someone knowing the victim will be subject to sexual servitude. It also makes it a first-degree felony to financially benefit or get anything of value from any act facilitating that behavior. The bill also defines child in the anti-trafficking statute as anyone under age 18, up from age 16. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. New York's health insurance premiums are skyrocketing at a rate higher than most other states. Last year, the Empire State had the second highest average for single coverage premiums with a rate increase of 6%. That's about $1,000 higher than the national average. Randy Snavely filling in for Sonny at the sports desk this afternoon. He's got your 2-minute drill.
Bill, teams are expected to be busy today as the NBA trade deadline is almost here. All trades have to be completed by 3 o'clock this afternoon, and the Heat and the Grizzlies have already gotten a deal done. Last night, Miami acquired Andre Iguodala from Memphis in exchange for a package that includes Justice Winslow. In the NBA last night, Brooklyn blew out Golden State 129-88 behind 23 points from Caris LeVert and 19 from Joe Harris. Other winners on the court: Detroit, Toronto, Boston, Oklahoma City, Atlanta, Memphis, Denver, and the Los Angeles Clippers. On the ice, Pavel Buchnevich had a goal and 2 assists to lead the Rangers over the Toronto Maple Leafs 5-3. The Blue Shirts have now won 3 of their last 4. Bruins also won, knocking off the Chicago Blackhawks in overtime by a 2-1 score. College basketball, Number 12, Villanova, upset 79-76 by 19 Butler. Kamar Baldwin knocking down a buzzer-beating three-point shot to give the Bulldogs the win. Two other top 20 upsets saw number 17 Iowa fall to Purdue 104-68, and number 18 LSU lost to Vanderbilt 99-90. The Super Bowl winning Kansas City Chiefs celebrated with a parade and rally in downtown Kansas City yesterday in front of hundreds of thousands of fans, and head coach Andy Reid told them they're going to celebrate another title next year. And in baseball, New York Yankee southpaw James Paxton will be out until May or June following successful back surgery. Bill, that's it for sports.
Thank you, Randy, for filling in. Great job still to come on this Thursday edition of the Noon Report. President Trump acquitted. He's about to speak to the country any moment now. Bernie Sanders is surging in New Hampshire and the National Day of Prayer.
The decline in our nation's most famous boys' organization is just a chapter in the overall story of how we are failing boys. But dedicated parents still have options. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. February 8 marks the anniversary of the founding of the Boy Scouts, one of America's most beloved youth organizations. On this anniversary, however, the future of this storied organization is far from certain. According to the Wall Street Journal, the Scouts have lost nearly a million members since 2008, and they now face lawsuits over the sexual abuse of children and cover-ups that go back decades. With the Mormon Church announcing in November that it plans to pull nearly 500,000 additional members out of the Boy Scouts, bankruptcy, even the end of the organization altogether, seems somewhat likely. Those who've watched this sad story unfold can't help but notice that the Scouts' quickening decline was only made worse when the group decided to betray its founding values. In 2013, the Scouts began accepting openly gay members, then leaders. Shortly after, they opened their ranks to transgender members, and then, despite the organization's name, to girls. The loss of the Scouts is just another blow in a culture already failing young men. The so-called deaths from despair, such as drug overdoses and alcoholism and suicides, are at a historic high, and young men have been the hardest hit. Time magazine reports that as of 2017, the male suicide rate was three times higher than the female rate, and youth suicides are at their highest point in 20 years. Now, many of these are attributable to loneliness and a sense of alienation, and more, young men especially feel that they just don't belong and they aren't welcome anywhere. It's a process that starts early, even in subtle ways. More than ever before, schools cater to girls, slashing recess and PE time, requiring longer hours sitting at desks. Around 13% of boys are now diagnosed with ADHD, a growing number put on medication like Adderall and Ritalin. In our misguided one-size-fits-all understanding of equality, there's just about nowhere that boys can go to be with other boys. And of course, the epidemic of fatherlessness is at the root of so much of the despair that we see around us. And we talk a lot about gender here on Breakpoint, how God's creation of human beings as male and female is good and beautiful and life-giving. Oftentimes, we're responding to stories about the transgender ideology or same-sex marriage. But the plight of boys, including the fall of the Scouts, it's even closer to some of us, especially those of us raising boys. That task is harder than ever before, but it's not impossible. Despite the failing institutions around us, alternatives exist for parents who are committed to raising their sons to be godly young men. Trail Life USA is an organization formed by ex-scouting families, and they're dedicated to Christian values. It's been profiled in World Magazine and has a membership of around 26,000 nationwide, many of whom describe it as the spiritual successor of the Boy Scouts. And there's other organizations too, often hosted by churches like the Royal Rangers, the Royal Ambassadors, the Troops of St. George. Many congregations also host custom-made programs that are tailored to connect boys with their dads or boys without fathers to men who can mentor them. As sad as the Boy Scouts' decline really is, parents of sons do have other options. And by God's grace, churches and parents who believe what the founders of the Scouts believed, that boys are real, that they have a unique and God-given and calling that should be cultivated, will continue to offer these alternatives. After all, if the church doesn't, who will? For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour. Let's head outside. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Our forecast for this afternoon, cloudy skies. We'll have some spotty light rain and drizzle in eastern Pennsylvania. Farther north and west, there'll be more of an icy mix. And mostly freezing rain, sleet, and some snow through western New York and northwest Pennsylvania. Temperatures this afternoon ranging from the upper 20s in Niagara to the mid-40s in eastern Pennsylvania. Tonight, rain, ice, and snow. That'll continue tomorrow, becoming all snow. Temperatures tonight, 20s and low 30s. Steady or falling tomorrow. Heaviest snow accumulations tonight and tomorrow will be through parts of western New York and the Finger Lakes, exceeding 6 inches. There will also be an ice accretion for some areas tonight as well. By the weekend, it's clearing out. We'll have some sunshine Saturday, but it's cold. High temps, mid-teens to the mid-20s.
Alrighty, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Thursday, February 6th. President Trump speaking to the nation right now from the White House following his acquittal by the Senate in his impeachment trial last night. Earlier today, Mr. Trump spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast, where he called those behind the effort to get rid of him enemies of the U.S.
My family, our great country, and your president have been put through a terrible ordeal by some very dishonest and corrupt people.
As expected yesterday, the U.S. Senate voting to acquit the president on both articles of impeachment. South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham says the impeachment trial served no purpose other than to divide an already deeply divided country.
If you think you've done the country a good service by legitimizing this impeachment process, what you have done is unleashed the partisan forces.
The Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says the president's acquittal does not mean he is innocent.
Truth. There's a giant asterisk next to the president's acquittal.
Mitt Romney, the lone Republican to vote guilty on the abuse of power charge, he voted not guilty on obstruction of Congress.
I knew from the outset that being tasked with judging the president, the leader of my own party, would be the most difficult decision I have ever faced. I was not wrong.
I think that he is not representing Utah.
That's Katie Witt, the mayor of Kayville, Utah. President Trump says he's been vindicated. The witch hunt now over. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
The president's got the best numbers he's had since he's been in office. So if this was all about the November election, it seems to me we can conclude, at least in the short term here, this was a colossal political mistake.
In the House, where the president was impeached in December, Democrats say they still plan to continue their probe of the president, even after yesterday's Senate vote to acquit him. The New Hampshire primary just days away, and a new tracking poll shows a neighboring senator is in the lead in the Granite State. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders leads the survey with 25% support. Former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg has moved up to second in New Hampshire at 19%. A California lawmaker wants to make it illegal not to vote. Family Life's Bob Price.
Yeah, Assemblyman Mark Levin's legislation would require registered voters cast a ballot or else. He says his efforts all about driving up lackluster voter participation levels in California. Levin wants to make voting similar to jury duty, where you could be subject to a fine or jail time if you don't take part. If passed, California would become the first state in America to make voting compulsory. Legal experts say such an effort, though, would probably violate the constitutional right of free expression. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bobby. A record-breaking American astronaut now back home after almost a year in space. Christina Koch returned to Earth just after 4 o'clock this morning after a record-setting 328 days on the International Space Station. 3,500 people from 140 different countries taking part in today's 68th annual National Prayer Breakfast.
In America, we don't punish prayer. We don't tear down crosses. We don't muzzle pastors.
President Trump using the occasion to draw attention to his record on promoting religious liberty.
I have taken historic action to defend religious liberty, including the constitutional right to pray in public schools.
Tony Perkins at the Family Research Council thinks no president has done more to advance religious freedom than this president.
This president, there's none like him when it comes to the issue of advancing religious freedom. He now, after 3 years, has a record to back up everything that he says. He is the man for this time.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi delivering the opening prayer at this morning's National Prayer Breakfast. 25 minutes past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
This is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, Stephen Strang, CEO of Charisma Media and host of the podcast, The Strang Report. Stephen, we've been seeing growing hostility in the U.S. toward biblical values and Christians. Maybe we could even trace it back to the Supreme Court's decision to remove prayer from public school in the early 1960s. But we've seen a distinct straying from those ideals of many of our founding fathers.
I would go back to the Scopes Monkey Trial in the 1920s. Progressivism really started a few years before that with Woodrow Wilson. And really, it goes all the way back to Darwin, where people took God out of the equation about why human beings are even on earth. So we've been living with this. We've gotten used to it. You know, Malcolm Muggeridge talked about the frog in the kettle. The water was getting warmer and warmer, and it was too late for him to jump out when it started to boil. And finally, people said enough is enough. And I really think that the left had been getting its way. And I'm going to just call it left to be general and include a whole lot of people. They've been getting their way again and again and again. And finally, the American people stood up and said enough already. Millions of Christians were praying that God would do something. We had no idea that he'd raise up somebody like Donald Trump, who on the surface is not somebody we would, you know, really support.
And the Trump administration has done several things to uphold faith in the public square, including marking the recent Religious Freedom Day by updating guidance on religious prayer in public schools.
Well, of course, there'll always be prayer in schools as long as there are exams. But taking prayer out of school was a pivotal point. You know, none of us want the government to prescribe a prayer, and the state of New York prescribed a prayer for children to pray. So in a way, I kind of agree with that decision, except what it was is it gave the precedent to take all mention of God. Now they don't even want student groups that have anything to do with religion to be able to meet in a classroom like the Spanish club or any other kind of club. Thankfully, there are some inroads being made there with lawsuits because they're absolutely taking away our religious freedom.
Steve, can we talk about some of the positive pro-evangelical things that he's done?
You know, Donald Trump has just done so much that the Christian community thinks is important, not only religious liberty, standing for life. He's a strong proponent of Israel, probably the strongest president we've had since Harry Truman. That's very important to those who believe the Bible because we believe that God blesses those who bless Israel. He also has taken up for Christians that are persecuted overseas. He made a wonderful speech the week he was at the United Nations in a different setting on religious persecution and how the United States was going to stand against it. And look what he did for Andrew Brunson. Here was a Christian missionary in Turkey, falsely accused. He was in prison. Any other president would have had a few State Department officials talk to the Turks, but do absolutely nothing. Donald Trump made it an international incident. Their currency plummeted in value, and Turkey said, hey, stop it already. Here's Andrew Brunson. And 24 hours after he was in a Turkish prison, he was in the White House, and he asked the president if he could pray for him. He had a state dinner honoring evangelical leaders. It had never been done before. They asked him what he wanted to be remembered for, and he said he wanted to be remembered as the president who prays the most.
Considering all the measures geared toward evangelicals, how much of an impact do you think Christians in his administration have been having on him and his policies?
In my book, I quote people as saying you can't walk 10 feet in the West Wing without running into a born-again Christian. He surrounds himself with people people. I mean, look at his vice president choice, Mike Pence. Boy, that sent a big signal to the evangelical community that he could be trusted.
Steve, how would you encourage people that are listening to pray as we head into this year? It's going to be a roller coaster ride as we approach the 2020 election.
We have to pray and we have to vote. And we really need a revival in this country. And I think that there are the beginnings of that with the conversion of Kanye West. We've got to pray that God's will be done in this country. And these battles are going to continue. They're not going to be won overnight, but Donald Trump will at least give us a reprieve and give us time that we can do what we need to do as Christians. It's really up to us. A lot of the problems in the country are the result of the church, and ultimately, we're responsible for taking moral leadership in a lot of different ways, and hopefully this is a wake-up call and people get involved and not only vote themselves, but encourage their friends. Everybody has a sphere of influence. Even a little grandma influences her children and grandchildren and her neighbors. And my book is my way to try to wake up the church.
That's Stephen Strang, CEO of Charisma Media and author of God, Trump, and the 2020 Election.
Thank you, Tracy. Faith Under Fire comes your way every Thursday during the Noon Report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Our forecast for this afternoon, cloudy skies. We'll have some spotty light rain and drizzle in eastern Pennsylvania. Farther north and west, it'll be more of an icy mix, and mostly freezing rain, sleet, and some snow through western New York and northwest Pennsylvania. Temperatures this afternoon ranging from the upper 20s in Niagara to the mid-40s in eastern Pennsylvania. Tonight, rain, ice, and snow, but it'll continue tomorrow, becoming all snow. Temperatures tonight, 20s and low 30s, steady or falling tomorrow. Heaviest snow accumulations tonight and tomorrow will be through parts of western New York and the Finger Lakes, exceeding 6 inches. There will also be an ice accretion for some areas tonight as well. By the weekend, it's clearing out. We'll have some sunshine Saturday, but it's cold. High temps, mid-teens to the mid-20s.
All right, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. Finally at noon, it was an emotional night last night in Williamsville, New York, when longtime basketball referee Benji Blumen walked onto the court. He was there to greet the people who saved his life. Blumen collapsed during a game on December 28th at Williamsville North. That night, some fans in the stands realized there was an issue. They jumped into action. Their actions ended up saving Blumen's life. In a pregame ceremony last night, those folks were honored for their role. Benji Blumen says he's forever grateful to those who saved his life at a high school basketball game, of all places. That is the world we live in this Thursday, as always. Thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.